was in honor of Brother Ed Campbell, the previous pastor here. We would sing that song when he come around. He said, "Charlie, come on, let's sing this without him." And he'd get to that part, and down low, he was a little bit, "Oh, how lost I would be." Oh, I loved him. Can't you hear him, Bob? Oh, my goodness. He was today in sharing with the songs. I don't know when I've seen a more beautiful rendition that will thrill your heart of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. This week with the memorial services, with the funerals that we'll perform, God willing, we'll sing that song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. It seems like doesn't matter what goes on, doesn't matter how time changes, doesn't matter about technology, doesn't matter about how in the loop or out of the loop you are, how up with the times you become or how far lagging behind. When people's hearts turn to God, at the services we hold, they want to sing Amazing Grace. Because Amazing Grace tells the story. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that did what? It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, thanks be to God, I am found. I am found. I am found. I was blind. Not knowing that I was blind, I was blind. But now, through God's grace, I can see. It's a thing that we go back to. It's a thing that just warms our heart. It's a thing that melts us inside because we know we are nothing more than sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. I know in my life, I like repetition sometimes to a fault. I told you before, I park in the same place when I go to the mall. Back when you used to buy CDs, you know what CD is, round thing, you put in a machine and it has usually 9 or 10 songs on it. It's not a download, Matt, it's called a CD. And I would put that CD in and I always found myself really enjoying 1 or 2 songs on that CD. And it would play through at number 6 and it'd get to the end. I'd go back, start number 6 again, go to the end. I'd start number 6 again. Why? Because, boy, that song would just speak to my heart over and over and over again. At certain times, I have found a great sense of stability in things that repeat. Things that you can count on. Things that you know are going to be there. People that you know, when you run into them, you know that they're going to have a smile upon their face. And they're going to be full of the love of God. Why? Because He touched them. At the end of that song, without Him, I did the part that Brother Ed would do. But his wife, Sister Evelyn, would sit there in the second pew. "Sing it, boys, sing it, boys, sing it, boys," she would say. And then she'd say, "Think about it. Think about it. Think about what you are singing. When you read God's Word, think about what you are reading. Allow what God is speaking to you in your heart to simply settle in. Start to fill you up until you overflow." I love this book of Romans that we're in. I love it because in the first chapter it tells that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later it tells me that all have sinned and come short. All of us. But Then it gets to that good part. It tells me, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I had a wonderful professor in college, Dr. Stanton. Dr. Stanton, younger days in his life, he'd been a prize fighter up in the Baltimore area. And when you looked at him, you could tell. Miss Ruby, am I telling the truth? When you looked at him, you could tell. Miss Ruby and I went to the same school. Neither one of our hair colors has changed that much. Just slightly. And he would teach his classes, but during his class, every class that I ever sat in that he taught, he would come back to this little saying. He would say, when the dewdrop nestles in the rosebud, and the morning sun chased away the dark clouds of the night, they went to the tomb and it was empty. Didn't matter what he was teaching on, didn't matter what subject, he would come back, always recognizing the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in every class that he taught. You could count on it. And this morning, as we go to those building block verses, those things that we just need to go back and visit and place them deep in our heart and just stand upon the promises that God gives us, we read another verse here in the 8th chapter where it really starts to get good, good, good. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To the Spirit. There is no condemnation, not because of what you have done or haven't done, simply because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. We talked about that, about how our feelings can betray us. Doesn't matter of what things you have done, there's not a check-off list. It simply means that if you have believed the verses that have been written, for the wages of sin is death, but that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. My belief in that assures me the proof that there is therefore, no condemnation. There are people who are ready to condemn you. There's probably in your everyday walk, in everyday life, you'll run into more people. Believe it or not, we'll have more negative things to say about you than positive. There are people, when you walk in the room, just, I don't know why they have that pleasure. I heard somebody say one time, such and such walk in a room feels like somebody just cut the lights off. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, everything that comes out of their mouth is negative, negative, negative. And our challenge through our belief in what this book says about us is to know without a shadow of a doubt there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. And to find out usually that individual who is causing pain and suffering, they themselves are the one who are suffering inside. They will not know we're Christians by anything that goes in that plate, by any sign on any signature that you put on any book. They will know we are Christians by our love one for another. Those that are not so easily loved, that is our challenge. Terry, I heard one time the three boys, they're comparing my daddy's this and my daddy's that. And one little boy says, you know, my daddy, he puts a few words on a piece of paper and they call it a poem and he gets $50 for it. Another says, oh, that's nothing. He says, my daddy, he puts words on a paper like that and they call it a song and he gets $100 for it. Third says, that got that one beat. My daddy, he puts some words on a paper. He calls it a sermon, and it takes two men to pick up all the money that he makes from that. We have things in our life we don't understand. There are services this week. And an individual has already told me, he said, brother, I want this service to be a celebration of life. Praise God. Praise God. But there's another service that we'll have, and God is going to work in that service. Because that man, he and I, we went to the same school, Edison. And when he called me up and he says, Charlie, you're not supposed to lose your 27-year-old daughter. And we met not here in the beauty of the church and the wonderful sanctuary he's given us. We met outside in a parking lot in a pickup truck. I am amazed about how God comes and meets you where you need Him. May not be in a beautiful sanctuary. I love this sanctuary. Some of you during the sermons have probably counted every knot on those balls as you look around in the days. I love it. I love the beauty of it. I love the spirit when I feel when I walk into this place. But I also know that God meets you in the place where you most need Him. It can be here. It can be a song that's sung with that darn little package and just warms your heart. But it also can be what you need in a parking lot, in a pickup truck, where you honestly and truly question God. Which is very understandable. But I'm here to tell you that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Walking after the Spirit, not the flesh. I had a discussion about that verse one time. And the big focus was on the second part of that. Oh, well, then you got to walk and you got to watch the way you walk and you got to walk the talk, talk the walk. You got to do all those things. You got to. And then I heard a professor make a wonderful dissertation on this verse. And he says, well, it's pretty simple. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are there because of His Spirit and not because of anything that you have done in the flesh. It is a gift so free But the special thing about it, it is a gift that you can't earn it. I want to earn it. I want to do this. I want to do that. We have to come in that knowledge that we are simply sinners saved by grace, and that grace is all sufficient for every need that I have in my life. It has been given to me freely. Freely. It is my faith in Him. It's not how good you are. Cindy at work, she came in with a little smile. She says, after the challenges of last year and the chemo and the surgery, and she was so happy on Friday, she came back and had her first haircut. First haircut. And I questioned her before she left. I said, "You're not going to do this Bill and Bob style, clear this thing, cut it off." No. She says, "When it's coming back, it's coming in kind of straight, but it's kind of flipping up on the sides like that, you know, like that." She got it trimmed up. She come back, and I said, "Oh," I said, "you look so beautiful." She says, "Well, that's the second compliment I've got." I said, "Oh, well, what was the first one?" She said, "Well, last night, after all the challenge," she decided to make dinner for the kids. And Miguel, John Michael, Alyssa, Alex, all of them will tell you she's not known for her cooking abilities. She said her youngest son come in and said, "Mom, this is pretty good. It even tastes like somebody else made it." In his childlike desire to make a compliment, she says, "I've had more fun thinking about that statement all night long. It tastes so good, it tastes like somebody else made it." I don't know. I don't know the challenge that you have. I don't know who condemns you. I would dare to say that the individual that condemns you the most is you yourself. You're always having these questions inside about, "Oh, I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know." I read the words. I try to place them within my heart. That thing that I want to do, I just can't find myself to do it. You struggle with life. You struggle with your walk in God. Don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like you're any different. Even the writers of the words that are open in front of me had that same struggle. But it's only when you focus on what you believe that the Word says, doesn't matter that feeling inside. You got to believe what the Word says. There is therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And I praise God for that. I praise that through Him I have liberty. I praise that through Him and through His Word that I am able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are nothing more than humble servants. The more that I think that I'm starting to get it right, the more that God just gets a hold of me and tells me that, don't ever forget that He's the one that got it right. It is simply my faith in Him that causes a desire in me to live a life that's just like the old bumper sticker. Christians, not perfect, just forgiven. Focusing on that forgiveness. Focusing on that humbleness that we feel inside. because of what He has done for us. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house. And my goodness, Heavenly Father, how sweet Your Spirit has been today. We felt it from the first handshake, the first hug. We felt it through those prayer requests that were simply laid upon the altar here. We felt it through the praises of the work that You are doing in our lives. We felt it through the songs, through the message in those songs. We felt it through Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, God, we thank You for what You've done for us. We thank You for allowing us to live lives that are based and grounded and founded deep in Your Word, and therefore there is no condemnation. Let us live lives of abundance, lives of hope and freedom, lives where we are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in that gospel we find our salvation spelled out for us. Heavenly Father, empower us to be Your ambassadors in this world that is lost, that is hurting, that is struggling, that is suffering. God, allow us to be Your workers. God, we thank You for that. Now, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, we ask for safe traveling mercies. We ask once again that You'll be with those prayer requests, that You will make deliveries just go as smooth as possible, God, that You will keep Your angels in hand of mercy. You will take care of our families. You will take care of our extended families, our friends, those we come into contact with. And God, You will do a work in our lives. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.